It's number one, Talk Station 99.3, Nigeria. Info, good morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. How are you today? I hope you had a good night. Now that you're on up and about, let's get you engaged with some really interesting conversation. Today is International Youth Day. Usually on the crossfire, Thursdays are for health and health only. We had planned to talk about language delay and speech delay in children. But then, International Youth Day is huge, it's humongous, it's global, and Nigeria is one of those countries that is suffering from underutilization of its youth population. And that is something else. I don't want to say criminal. But hey, you can watch on Facebook right now. You can watch us live right now on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can also watch live on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 this morning. So yeah, if you're a youth, please feel free to join our conversation today. Now, let me take you through what the United Nations says. The United Nations says the economic impact of COVID-19 is said to make the job market more challenging for the youth. That's not just about Nigerian youths, global youths, the entire global youth. The ILO reports that in the first quarter of 2020, about 5.4% of global working hours, that is equivalent to about 155 million full-time jobs, were lost relative to the fourth quarter of 2019. So you can imagine the working population, how much impact COVID has had on working population across the world. Now, recent estimates suggest that 600 million jobs would have to be created over the next 15 years to meet youth employment needs. In Nigeria, whether there is COVID or there's no COVID, about 68% of our youths are unemployed. That's me being very conservative with the numbers. About 68% of them. How has governance, how has politics impacted the growth of our youth in Nigeria? Well, I have some really brilliant minds in the studio with me this morning. I'll be making their introduction right away. So feel free to please help me welcome them wherever you are. Clap for them. Drum roll and everything. I'm going to start with Olushola Onikoko. He's here in the studio. Olushola, a very lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you here. Olushola Onikoko is an international development practitioner whose work is at the intersection of business and development. Olushola is president of the Carrington Fellowship, CYFI. In the past 10 years, he has worked with various private and public development sector organizations to design and implement programs, policies and researches targeted at improving development outcomes for undeserved communities across Africa. So you can say that he's been pretty much involved in what you call corporate social responsibility at the grassroots himself. Now, I'm going to go to my next guest here, Azizat Yishao. She's a medical doctor. Azizat, good morning to you.
Thank you so much.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Azizat, like I said, is a medical doctor and a co-founder of Constitutional Lab, with over 4 years active experience in grassroots mobilization, 4 years active experience in citizens engagement and stakeholder management. She's worked with NGOs like the ones that you know involve Africa Constitution Lab, etc., to advance democracy and human rights. She's a Carrington Youth alumni again, a fellow at the U.S. International Visitor Leadership Program and the Young Women Political Leadership School. She joins us on the show today. Yes, let me bring on the microphone Rhoda Robinson. Rhoda, good morning to you. How are you today?
I'm very good.
It's good to see you, that you're here. Rhoda is a founder and executive director of Hasty Health Initiative, a development organization focused on empowering and supporting the underserved population, especially women and young people. She's an accomplished development practitioner with over 13 years experience and successful track record in developing and implementing high-impact interventions towards addressing development challenges and achieving the goal of a healthy and sustainable society for all. So let's start. I'm going to start with Rhoda this morning. I'm going to start with a question I asked after the news. What future does Nigeria hold for her youths?
Okay. Thank you. It's great to be here. And happy International Youth Day to every young person and everyone that identifies as a young person as well. So what future does Nigeria have for the young people? I can say Nigeria has the potential to create a brilliant future for its young people, where they take and they play an active role in its development and its growth. And this future can be achieved when Nigeria as an institution and as a country starts focusing more on investing in its young people and in systems and structures that build their capacities and create an enabling environment for them to blossom.
Nigeria has not been doing all of this.
Nigeria is at the verge of a population boom. I know some of you might have heard of what we call demographic dividend and the continuous talks we've been having about population and what we need to do and the Nigerian demographic dividend roadmap. And Nigeria has been taking steps to achieve or to implement these plans and actions that they've drawn up. But we find that the challenges that we've been facing, not even including COVID right now, COVID is like one of the outliers of challenges that affects everyone, regardless of where you stand. Not even counting that, our challenge of resource allocation, our challenge of insecurity, our challenge of where we stand when it comes to developments and technology, all factor in when it comes to building the right frameworks and the right environment for young people to thrive.
Right, indeed. Olushola, let me come to you about young people thriving. With the climate that the young people operate in Nigeria, is there, yes, there are potential, but can there be a support for those potential? Do you have enabling environment right now for young people to thrive in this space, in this atmosphere that we currently are in Nigeria?
All right, thank you so much for that question. I would like to start where Rhoda stops, because I think most times we don't understand the concept of demographic dividends. And if we truly understand it, we are going to do a lot more. So let me take a moment to tell you that so the country called Japan today has a lot more older people than its young population. They would be in massive trouble if they have a lot of older people depending on a few, lesser number of young people who are not as productive.
Yeah.
Because what that would mean is they have a relatively unproductive population or productive population of 7 to 3. And that is going to be chaotic. We have a unique opportunity in Nigeria right now, like Rhoda said, because at this time, there is a lot of young people at the development stage, still getting education, still being positioned.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like this forever.
No.
A time would come where this age group, this 60%, 70% young people of our population would grow old. And what would also happen because of the awareness on contraceptives, on managing number of children you have, is we are going to have most likely fewer children. Right. So what would happen is in a few years' time, our own generation will be much older, less productive, because we now have to depend on a fewer younger population. And that's where the problem will happen. So when we talk about demographic dividends, what we are basically saying is we have to invest in this huge population such that they are very productive and we are able to institutionalize a level of social welfareism such that when our population becomes older, the younger people that are coming into a structure where they are able to be productive to support the older population.
Right.
So an understanding of that concept would let us know that it is the question sometimes is not that do as a country, do we have promise for our future as for young people?
Right.
The question should be that what are we ensuring that we definitely have that future? Because we don't have a choice.
Hmm.
Otherwise, we're positioning for challenges, huge challenges, you know. And of course, we're already saying it's Nigeria is really huge. There's no country we can all go to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every other places we go. And the other thing is Nigerians are really, really innovative, especially young people.
Yeah.
So however you position them, they're going to do it innovatively, either in the positive dimension or in the negative dimension. So it is really, really a call for us all to ensure that we do something. Mm. Otherwise, we are positioning. And the good thing is it's going to be in our lifetime because we are young.
We're young now.
And that is why we have to participate in the process of decision making.
Talking about participating in the process of political decision making, Aziza, let me come to you. The political climate in Nigeria, does it encourage youth participation?
To answer outrightly, we still have a lot of work to do in the political space.
Can you speak closer to the mic?
Okay. To speak outrightly, we still have a lot to do to ensure that the political sphere is sustainable, is safe for young people in Nigeria as well. So that's a direct question. And have there been pockets of progress in different aspects of leadership in Nigeria in political space aside elected offices?
Yeah.
I would say better. A little bit better in some states, a little bit better. And one thing I've also realized is that leadership is very, very important, especially when we're talking about the topmost leadership. You know, what is the character of topmost leadership? What is their body languages to young people, including young people in leadership position aside from elected position? Because we still have a lot of things to discuss in terms of elections in Nigeria.
That's
And that is even outside just young people alone.
So what is wrong with young people getting really active in the electoral process right now?
Okay, so there are a lot of challenges, and I think that one of the things that we've identified plainly is one of the things that we're learning is apathy. And there's a reason why there's an apathy, because young people are easily discouraged about, seeing the reward or the gratification of their action. So everybody wants to do something and they'll see that, okay, they're able to get what they deserve or get a return. So when we talk about elections, there's a lot of election fraud, there's a lot of election violence. One of the things that I know specifically that the young people from election is election violence. In 2015, I carried out a survey of young people, both online and offline. As well. Why? Because I was really gingered. I think that was the first time that I would vote and I was 18 plus and I was very excited about it, and I realized that even in some areas, young people are not interested. A lot of my colleagues were asked to come home by their parents. So any young person that is voting is probably there to collect money or to cause trouble and has been paid to cause trouble at the election. So election violence is a major thing that is deterring young people. And then two, there's lack of trust in the Nigerian system, in the electoral system. But I must say that young people are not taking up the initiative to ensure that what election process are more credible, are more rewarding, and that we are taking part in elections as well, both as those who are electing and those who want to be elected in political office.
Rhoda, let me take you up on what Aziza said about lack of trust in the system. I mean, the youths can't wait for anybody to restore trust back in the system. There has to be some concrete action steps towards making sure that they take ownership of their future, because it's ownership of the future we're talking about. Yeah. If you talk to Nigerian youths, gather all of them together and ask them about the last time they voted, those of voting age, you'll be shocked at what you hear. People just want to, like Aziza said, they just stay away. They feel that the place is too dirty. There is violence. The votes will not count. This will not happen. That will not happen. In the end, it's just an exercise in futility. What role can the youths play in reshaping, in redirecting the future, the process, so to speak, of the process of selecting leadership? What role can youths play actively? In the last election, youths tried to get involved. I can tell you that. We had some youths that came out. In the last local government elections in Lagos State, we had youths that actually came out for positions, they vied for positions. Mm-hmm. That's a tremendous change. I mean, I didn't expect that would happen. But then that's a start. Mm-hmm. But then if you ask another youth that, why is that girl coming out to come and contest? She's just wasting her time. The people that win elections somewhere in their rooms.
People that select them, kingmakers are there. Yeah.
So they feel they don't have a role to play in the system. How can we change this ideology?
I think one of the best ways to change it is to start showing people that they matter and that what they decide contributes to the overall outcome. A lot of people believe that because I am one, my vote will not count. Mm. You understand? Mm. So they see themselves as an individual rather than a collective. Mm. And then when you start thinking in the perspective of a collective and not just one person trying to change something, you find that you'll get more encouraged to actually want to change something. Mm. You spoke about the recent Lagos State election. I have young people who I work with who were active parts in the election in one of the local governments. And one of the things he had said to me was that because they understand the system, they understand what is on ground, and they've been watching and they've been learning, they knew exactly what to do and who to speak with to make that change. And everybody understands that people have their own agendas. You have an agenda going in. The other person has an agenda going in. Mm. What matters is what that agenda would do. How would it affect the populace in general? And understanding that and pushing that forward is what makes the difference. So what they did is they spoke to the leaders in the communities. Yeah. They spoke to young people in the communities. They spoke to the young people running for office in the community and said, this is what we want. We would support you. We would help you reach more people if you can assure us that this is going to be a priority in your work if you get in. Mm. And once they had that assurance, they went out and they spoke to other young people and spoke to leaders and said, okay, this is what is happening. This is what we want to do. And at the end of the day, that mass of people came out and they voted for what they wanted. Mm. And that person got in as a young person. Mm. Female as well. So you say that when you work as a collective, when you feel that your voice would be heard and you can make the change, a lot of young people would make the change. But the problem now is that we have a lot of young people who don't even understand the system in the first place.
How do we address that?
Awareness, education. You can't say it enough. We have so many platforms that we can use. There's social media, there's word of mouth, there's normal media, there's plays, there's any platform available used to show young people that this is how to get involved. Because you cannot blame someone for not getting involved if they don't even know how and you never taught them. So that is one of the things that we need to start facing. That we are saying young people should be involved. Do they know how to be involved? Do they know the role they can play?
Right.
Do they know that they can actually attend town hall meetings and demand for certain promises that were given during the campaign process? A lot of people don't know that. Because they don't know that is actually a power that they have. They just say that there is nothing that can be done. That once those people are there, the people who sponsored or the people who are backing them will call the shots, and then all we have to do is just sit and watch and hope that nothing bad happens to us and we can survive the outcomes of bad governance.
Oh my word, that's so much uncertainty to put out there. But let's pause a bit. I will come to Shola after the break, and when we return from the break, we'll talk about unemployment in Nigeria. Twitter is still somewhere in our conversation this morning, as well as youth restiveness that is everywhere these days. Most people are joining cults. Most young people, they're joining, they're into cultism, and that is a big, big problem on our hands. We'll talk about this and a whole lot more. Lagos, you can join our conversation on YouTube and on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. That's Nigeria Info 99.3 on the super phones. WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. That is 0809-597-5805. Studio lines, when we return, just put down the numbers. Studio lines are 0800-993-993. 993-993, that is 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. We'll be right back after this short timeout. Do join us again.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
And we're back on the Morning Crossfire. It's International Youth Day. We've been having conversation with brilliant minds in the studio this morning. Azizat is here. Shola is here as well as Rhoda. Thank you for joining me in the studio. Gentlemen and ladies, thank you. Now, let's pick it up from where Rhoda stopped. Shola, you were going to respond to what we're talking about. Where Rhoda stopped, rather.
Yes, so... what Rhoda was saying was the place of awareness,
yeah,
and how to get many young people.
That's political participation.
Political, yes, participation. Mm. In my opinion, I think there are two important approach,
yeah,
to it. One is a long-term perspective, and the other is short-term.
Okay.
Because I still doubt if we can achieve the kind of results we can, no matter the level of awareness we do in the short term, because things have to build up.
Yeah.
You know, things like addressing the perspectives and all, getting young people to participate. But my point really is the fact that there is, on the one hand, young people should run for office, like Rhoda said.
Mm.
But how many people will be in office? I think where we should prioritize the proper understanding of political participation by young people.
Mm.
Because between 4 years, fine, 2023 is approaching, a lot of people are running and this, but after 2023, what happens? Do we all go back?
Mm.
And I think we're systemically, or in a systemic way, the people in government might be limiting the voice of young people is by ensuring an unempowered young population.
Mm.
Because political participation is very, very closely tied to empowerment of people.
Mm.
And let me break it down. It starts from education, school. And unfortunately, the way our educational curriculum is structured here is still very much tailored towards the industrial age,
yeah,
not this age of information.
Mm.
I mean, thanks to the global platforms where few people are leveraging. But don't forget that the majority of our population still depend only on our standard school formal education,
yeah,
to be positioned for citizenship participation.
Mm.
Really, where the sense of citizenship participation is formed is from primary school, secondary school, what they are taught, how they are enabled or positioned to participate. That is one. The second one is entrepreneurship, jobs. If I don't have... young people generally might... I mean, will go into politics for two things. Either they're empowered and they want to bring all of that wealth and experience to fix things, or it's a response to unemployment.
Mm.
And when responding to political participation for unemployment purpose, they are very much positioned to participate from the negative perspective, because their personal interest takes priority and they would want to achieve it at any cost.
Mm.
Countries where young people are able to effectively participate in politics are countries where young people are also economically empowered. Empowered because they are able to create wealth for themselves. So it's the tendency to blindly follow a political godfather reduces. As much as there might still be necessary need for mentorship, for, you know, support, but the godfatherism, as we call it, will begin to address it from the root. If I'm running for local government chairmanship now, why will I want to engage a political godfather? Because I need grassroots support, which I don't have, but somebody has invested in, right? Because I need finances to fund. But if I have some level of empowerment, then I can run those things at least funded by my own endeavor sustainably. So those are the things that are systematically reducing or limiting young people's participation when people are not rightly educated, they are not empowered. And don't forget that the instinct for survival is highest in people. So even for those young people who participate as hooligans and thugs, mostly motivated by poverty. Right? So these are issues we also should be addressing as part of dealing with the challenges of political participation, especially in the long term. In the short term, of course, part of what Carrington Fellowship is doing is running the PVC Drive campaign, which is helping us create awareness, drive a lot of engagement, sensitize people, get their PVC in partnership with the Constitution Lab. But that is short term. because we have to prepare for the long term. Mm. And I think that is very important that we put that
out. Azizat, you want to jump on that?
Yes, I just wanted to add to it because, you know, I've always said that democracy or governance is not just about electing leaders, it's about keeping them accountable. Mm. So when I speak to a lot of people, I'm politically inclined and I'm definitely want to move into the political space. But I also tell a lot of young people that it's not everybody that's going to vote for political. Some people don't even like the process of campaigning, meeting
people, talking to,
all that stressful? Mm. Well, who are you? Those things are there. But then, just like Oshola said, I wrote that, we have to be involved in governance. So the other aspect of democracy that is a huge job that actually give power to the people is the accountability process. Mm. It's asking those questions, letting them know that we know what you are doing. And that is why I said that, that's why I said, okay, better off now a lot of young people are trying to get into that space and ensure that a lot of things happen in elections. We've seen advanced countries, you understand what I'm saying? And we've seen that it is the power of the people to stand firm.
That's right.
We as developing countries might have issues with during those election period. But then after election, a lot of people make promises. I give people this typical example. You want to build a house. You've paid the architecture. You have the blueprint. You've called the civil engineer. I said, oh, and they tell you, oh, this will be done in 6 months. Like, okay, all right, bye. See you in 6 months. That's not possible. Mm. You're probably going to be called. Mm. You're not an architect. You don't know anything about building, but you know what you want. Mm-hmm. And so you are going to, and that is how leadership is. So a lot of young people, and not only young people, a lot of Nigerians too. And I just wanted to emphasize again, because of what we are doing at PVC, that some of our projects are going into community-based. We are targeting young people. Mm. We are targeting a specific age group of women as well.
Yeah.
Because we know that women are grassroots, are the ones that bear the brunt of any form of underdevelopment. Mm. Mention whatever. In terms of COVID, more women are facing it. More young women are facing domestic violence, lack of job. Even abroad, when we're talking about loss of jobs and, you know, having one partner stay at home to take care of the child, as well back home, there is more women that have to, you know, step back as well. So it is important that we speak to all these areas as well, that you need to participate in governance. You need to start thinking this way because you are more affected and you have the ability. And, you know, when women speak as well, you know, within their own circle of influence, they're able to carry out that effect. So, like I was saying, accountability is also part
of it. Very key.
And I always encourage, this is thing that you can do aside from election. You can monitor your budget. You can go for town hall meetings. You can go for public hearing of a policy. You can sit in front. You can, if you have the time, go to visit your representative.
Or create the time.
Yes, create the time. Yes, correct. Mm. To visit your policy. Your chairman is the closest person to you. Mm. You can support, you can empower. We are asking for a lot of things for local government, you know, independence or this thing. So you can do all those things. You can talk to community. You can participate aside from election.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Or going for, you know, political position.
I want us to touch on something very critical. I'm glad that we've been able to talk about youths and political, their political involvement and everything. But there's something very germane that we've not talked about, and that is the largely negative mindset of today's Nigeria's youth. Nigeria's youth today are so negative about everything. If you see those that are positive, they're just a handful. The other ones, they are, do this, it will not work. Just step outside, it will rain. Go and iron your clothes, that thing will burn my clothes. I wake up in 5, I can't wake up at 5 a.m. now, it's me that killed Jesus. Go and look for a job now, do you see job anywhere? Do another aspiration course, that one is just paper. They are just so negative. Rhoda, let me start with you. You are a player in the development sector.
Yep.
How do we begin to correct this mindset? A negative mindset is an unproductive mindset. It's a kind of mindset that drags everybody back. How do we begin to change this kind of mindset? Or am I wrong to think that Nigeria...
No, you are not wrong. Okay. But first, before we even start talking about how, we need to understand that and accept that it is not something that can be done immediately. Because you did not just become a youth the day after you were born.
That's right.
You have grown in a system and in an environment that has nurtured that negative perception of society. In other words, all your life, you have been seeing or perceiving failure, rejection, low self-esteem, poverty, a break in systems and society. So, for the better part of your conscious mind, there is no possible way that good can come out of something. You understand? So, you need to start making people understand that in their person, they have to have a behavioral change in the way that they think and in the way that they act. For them to be able to see the change that they want in society. Most people just say that, oh, this thing cannot work. It's not that they don't want it to work, or they wouldn't be happy if it works. It's just that they do not feel there is any power that can change that. It's like saying, oh, when you drive out in the morning, oh, this traffic, I'm going to sleep here today. Most of the time, you will sleep there today. You understand what I mean? So you're already conditioned to expect and receive that negative feedback. So we need to start having people act and think in a positive direction. Start building on their self-esteem that, yes, if it is going to rain today, I can go out and buy an umbrella to make sure that I am covered. I don't need to sit down at home and wait for the rain to stop. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't get mine. So they need to start saying, they seeing that they have that power to change that thing. And we can't just start with the youths of today. We already see that it took a long time for them to get to that point. So let's start from the beginning. We can't change the next generation while we're working on this generation and saying that you have the power to do this. You have the power to do that. You have the power to change your family. You have the power to change your friends by pushing out the right kind of information. Give that kind of positive reinforcement to the younger generations who are still forming a perception or are still forming an opinion about society and what they can contribute and they can receive from society.
Aziza, let me come to you. Would you like to jump on that before we move on?
Yes. I've always appreciated a lot of what young people can do, and part of the training that we have about, you know, youth activism. You know, a youth is like an energy ball, you know, so dynamic, can move this way, can move that way, and young people, right from a very at a very young age, are absorbing a lot of information. Consciously and unconsciously.
They're like a sponge. They
just absorb anything that you give them. Whatever you give, they absorb. And it is how they develop to internalize that would depend on what they produce eventually. One thing I appreciate about young people is that it's easy for us to become optimistic.
Yeah.
Even though you keep saying, oh, young people, just say, guy, do something else that, or set that, show them something that
they'll get gingered, and before you know it, things will change.
Even if it's a nonsense thing, they'll get gingered to it. And compared to older people that say, oh, this is how we've been doing it,
right,
there's nothing we can do about it, you understand me? So young people are capable of that. And just as Rode said, we have a lot of work to do. And me, I've always looked at it from, I always talk about what governments can do, what groups can do. We've talked about unemployment. And I think that this year's theme is about, you know, how youth innovation can bring about health, food security. How can we engage young people in food security? We know that young people, particularly in Nigeria, we're versatile people. We are very innovative people. We are bigger than the box Nigeria. And Nigeria itself as a country needs to create that space. It's not enough that some of the technique that we use. Right now, I'm so freaked about Azure from Microsoft. I don't know anything yet, but I'm still looking for someone. And that is an information and artificial intelligence that can, you know, with the use of your phone, you can assess if this plant or crop is lacking in magnesium, if it is lacking in calcium, if it is not having adequate number of water.
Right.
You understand? And this is things that young people are particular about. So when people are particular about new things, they are curious. So as a government, you understand, or as a people, when we want to drive change and we want to bring young people in, we need to understand where they are coming from and the dynamic of it. The problem we are having is that a lot of people who are decision making do not want to, you know, open up from their shell or what they used to know to accommodate young people into that aspect. So you see a lot of pessimism. These people that say, okay, go and iron. If it's okay, go and iron your cloth, I'll give you a certain amount of reward. Let me not say money.
Incentivize, you know.
They're up and doing.
Yeah.
Or you say, well, go, you know, they use some of these things abroad, like what we use here that is always a, I don't know the word to it, a beaten, what's that word? A negative reinforcement. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? I tell people, when I speak to my political elders, and I say, when you give back to your child, you want what is best for your child.
Mm-hmm.
But up to university, depending on your capability, do you know that you actually beg your child to go to school? You're going to pay school fees right from secondary school. Please go. Please go. You're going to give them money for food. You're going to buy. Maybe it's their future now.
That's right.
Even in secondary school, SS3, you're still, some of us still run after the children. Oh, choose this university. Why does it, if you like, go and be a drunkard? And that is how it is for young people.
Yeah.
So to a certain level, we need to be showed, cajoled.
You need to guide them. Mold them.
Mold. So it doesn't have to be like, oh, can't you think with your brain? Are you dumb? Can't you see what your other mates are doing? Oh, you are the last in class. Oh, young people don't want to participate in politics. Are we the one to beg you to participate in leadership? If you like, I'll give a typical example. Someone wanted to create some extra facilities in schools, and I was talking about public toilet to increase. People were like, is it because of today? They should not go.
They
to
should not
school.
Come.
They should not come. But we know that personal hygiene is an important thing for young people.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? We've talked about wash and how it's affecting girls and even boys as well.
Right.
Who wants to go to a toilet that everywhere is messed up? Go to school where they probably wouldn't go because they have to use the toilet. It's still a thing simple as toilet or water can deter young people from education. And so these are the things that we are bringing out. Oh, we have this facility. Oh, we have that facility, but you don't have clean water.
So if you want to reinforce positive mindset, it needs to come from everybody.
Yes.
We need to encourage to you. We need to show them that there is more to life than just being negative, being pessimistic.
Yes. And to add to that, as she said, as Aziza said, that the government has a role to play because there are certain policies that need to be put in place to ensure that regardless of who is in power, because power changes.
Yeah,
power
that's
is
right.
not it's not standing.
That's right.
Regardless of who is in power, that system remains. That system of ensuring that if you are a public school, you must have at least 5 functional toilets. I'm just giving a random number.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
And you must have that already. It's there. The policies that say that if you are a young person that wants to go into agriculture, you will receive this allocation of land. You will be assigned an extension worker.
Right.
You will be trained on how to produce whatever it is that you are growing, where your markets are, and how to venture into export so that you can expand your business. So all those things.
I think we should also pay attention to the fact that sometimes what you're saying is empowering the population in a systematic way. But I think part of what is fueling the existing leadership structure in Nigeria is deliberately keeping people unempowered.
You know what? Yeah. Hold on to that thought. We need to go to break. We're due for another break. When we return, we'll need to wrap. God, me. Time flies on this program. Lagos will be right back. Stay with us.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Welcome back. It's 8:58 going on 59 right now, and I see I have my guests here. Unfortunately, we can't go beyond this point, but I will allow Shola. There's an event coming up by the Carrington Foundation, right? Tell us about that very quickly.
All right. So speaking about youth empowerment, I think one shortcut we've had is programs, fantastic programs are helping young people learn and develop, like the Carrington Fellowship, which is an initiative of the United States Consulate in Lagos State. Today in particular, we have an event at 1 p.m., which is an open house event for Carrington Fellows to come share their experience of what they have learned during their Carrington Fellowship program and how that is impacting on their career choice and all. You know, at the end of the day, it's about what we know and how we allow our knowledge to empower our mind and help us make better decisions. And I think that is what the Carrington Fellowship is promoting, an empowered network of young people. Please follow us online, visit our website, carringtonfellows.org, and you'll be able to see
what
all of
do now, shall I? Okay, come
thank
on,
you
going.
So much.
Shall I? Thank you so much for coming. Aziza, thank you. Rhoda, thank you so much for coming. I wish you guys happy International Youth Day.
Thank you.
Lagos, thank you for being a part of the show. I'm Sherif Quadri. I'm Sherif Quadri on social media. I'll see you on Monday at 5. Wemi Moore will be here at 5 tomorrow. Have a fantastic day. Bye for now.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.